Mark's Gospel. We are picking up in verse 9, where we left off last week. And as Blake shared with you guys, we're talking about your need for the Spirit and how important it is that we do have the Holy Spirit active and alive in our lives. We know He's available to us. We know as believers He dwells in our hearts, but we're every single day in greater need of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So that's what we're going to talk about today as we're in the Gospel of Mark. But if you would, let us once again bow our hearts and our minds and ask God to bless this time. Lord, I don't think we can ever pray enough. And so that's why from time to time we pause and we lift up a prayer to you. God, as we sit here this morning in your presence and around your people, God, I pray that we would experience you in a great way, in a powerful way, not just emotionally, but physically, God, that we would know that you're here and that we'd understand and hear from your word what it is you have for each of us. Every single person in this room, seated in every one of these chairs, is precious to you, has a purpose for you. And so, God, we pray by your word and by your spirit that you would speak to us, that we would not just hear the word and walk away and forget it, but truly that we would embrace it and let it be hidden in our hearts and in our minds, lived out in our lives to the glory of God. So have your way in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When you think about the character of God, the qualities, the abilities, even one of the songs we sang, He's a good, good Father. To know and to believe that God is good, that you've experienced the goodness of God in your life. Not that everything in our life goes good, not that everything is perfect in our lives, but that we know that our Heavenly Father is good. And as we think about the character of God, I just wrote down some words, and I just want to kind of read them slowly and let them kind of sink into our minds. Because I believe with some of these characteristics of God, you'll respond to it. You'll go, yes, God has been that to me. So just listen for a moment. He's a faithful God. We know that. He's faithful. He's trustworthy. We can trust God at every moment, all the time. He's very trustworthy. We must trust Him. He's patient. Anybody grateful for that? Grateful that God is patient and long-suffering, which is the same word. He's understanding. He understands who we are, where we've come from, and where we're going. He's forgiving, and He's gracious. I, for one, am very thankful for the grace of God upon my life. He's loving, and He's giving. He's powerful. He's mighty. He's holy, and He's righteous. His ways are right. His ways are always right, even though they might not feel that way. So to think about those characteristics of God, to see and to think about, He's faithful, He's patient, He's holy, He's righteous, He's forgiving, those minister to us. As we remember that characteristic of God in our lives. You know, has God shown you many of these? I hope so. I hope you've experienced God in these ways. And I wonder, could you stand up here this morning if I were to call your name and say, come forward and share a testimony of how God has been faithful in your life? Would you be able to do that? If I was able to call you and say, could you come up and give a testimony of how giving God has been to you? Could you come up here and give that? And many of you are nodding yes, because that's the God we serve. That is who He is, and that is what He's done in our lives. See, I am, again, as I said, so very grateful for the grace of God in my life, humbled almost every single day of seeing how God works in my life and how He shows me a characteristic of Himself or how He reveals Himself to me or how He reveals Himself in someone else. That's the grace of God. And Jesus, who we're talking about in the Gospel of Mark, obviously. The first verse, Mark reminded us, He is not just Jesus, He's the Son of God. And Jesus, as the Son of God, has all of these very same characteristics, right? He's patient, He's faithful, He's righteous, He's holy. All of those things, but I want to draw to your attention, Jesus has one more quality than the ones that God has. Jesus was also obedient. That is a quality that Jesus possessed in His earthly ministry, in His life. He was obedient to His Heavenly Father. See, God the Father doesn't have to be obedient. He's himself. He's righteous. He's holy. He doesn't have to be obedient to anyone. He just is obedient. But Jesus was obedient as he came to this earth to live the life that he had, to fulfill the purpose that he had, to literally, he was obedient to the what? To the point of death, dying on the cross for all of us. Obedience. And if we do believe in the character of God, and we have a relationship with God, and we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, and we believe that we are created in the image of God to be like God, we too should be faithful. We too should be righteous. We too should be holy. And that's a process that we're all going through. I wish it was, Lord, I believe, and then woof, we were just those things. But it's a process, isn't it? Sometimes we're faithful. Sometimes we're holy. Hopefully more times than not. And if we are a follower of Jesus Christ, the greatest example Jesus has given to us is that of obedience. Obedience. And we all who believe in God and who want to live a life for God want to be obedient. And I want to submit to you this morning, obedience is impossible apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. If it had to be that way for Jesus, it certainly has to be that way for us, if not more. Then your need, my need for the Holy Spirit is so vital. And we talk about it time and time again. The Holy Spirit is all over the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And the more we read about the Holy Spirit, the more it should be put into our hearts a desire to want more of the Holy Spirit. God, please anoint me with the Holy Spirit. I got to tell you, every single Sunday morning, that is the majority of my prayer on Sunday when I wake up. Lord, anoint me with your Holy Spirit. I don't want to stand up before you and share a message that Rob prepared. I want to share a message that the Holy Spirit has prepared. Every Sunday morning, every day we should wake up, Holy Spirit, anoint me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, change me. Anoint my eyes so I can see things. Anoint my ears so I might hear your voice. To be in tune with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what God wants to do in and through your life. It's a vital connection. And I don't want it to be just that a theology that we think, yes, I have the Holy Spirit, or yes, I'm led by the Holy Spirit. I want it to be a desire of our hearts that we get on our hands and our knees and we pray, God, we need more of your Holy Spirit. We need more of your Holy Spirit. We are never going to get to the point where I'm full of the Holy Spirit. No, it's called an overflow of the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit can be touching the lives of some others. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is our need for the Holy Spirit. The obedience is only possible by the Holy Spirit. And we're only going to look at five verses. When it comes to the Gospel of Mark, Mark is kind of the cliff note guy, okay? He's kind of the guy that says, these things happen. And he'll do it in two verses, where in some of the other Gospels, it's 11 or 13 verses. And so we're going to have to go to another Gospel, the Gospel of Mark, Matthew chapter 4 in a bit. So if you want to bookmark your Bibles, we'll do that. But look with me now, Mark chapter 1, verse 9. Read with me. After we heard about John the Baptist and what he was going to do, here we see in verse 9 that it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Pause right there and give me your attention. Last week we hear about John the Baptist, who was going to come, the forerunner to Christ, to bring Jesus in, to proclaim the baptism of repentance. And here in the very next verse, Mark says, here comes Jesus, and very much so gets baptized by John the Baptist. A bit of a side note, Jesus didn't get baptized because he needed his sins forgiven. We all know that, right? Jesus got baptized to show and to identify with us his need for his Heavenly Father. Because water baptism is identifying with what God has done. Death, resurrection, newness of life. For us, it's a symbol of an inward work. For Jesus, it was just an act of obedience to his Heavenly Father. And his need and our need for the Spirit shows us that, number one, the Spirit enables you. The Spirit enables you. Again, look at verse 10. And immediately coming up from the water, he, Jesus, saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If Jesus, as the Son of God, needs the Holy Spirit, how much more do we need it? How much more do you need it? Now, Jesus has always had the Spirit. He is God. But Jesus, as the Son of Man, needed the Holy Spirit to accomplish his earthly ministry. Very, very important that you understand that. Jesus was anointed, was baptized by the Holy Spirit as he was water baptized, so that he was equipped to do the things he needed to do in his life, the man, Jesus Christ. And so here we see very plainly and very clearly, Jesus received the Holy Spirit as baptism. It's the same experience that we see in the book of Acts in the very first chapter, that the early church had to tarry in Jerusalem until they received the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Acts 8:1 says this, "But you," speaking to us, Jesus speaking, "but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you," that epi in the original, "and you shall be witnesses to me." Then the verse goes on to where we're going to be those witnesses. The Holy Spirit will come upon them, will epi, it would be baptized by the Holy Spirit in order to be a witness for Christ. In order for us to be good witnesses, in order for us to be those loving Christians, we need this baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. You know when you're working and operating in the Spirit, don't you? And you also know when you're working and operating in the flesh, don't you? It's a difference, isn't there? We can't lead anybody to the Lord in our flesh. We can only lead the people to the Lord by the love of Christ through the Holy Spirit. And he enables Jesus for the work that he had to do. Do you need the Holy Spirit this morning? Are you desperately in need of the Holy Spirit this morning? Yes, every single one of us. Even if things are going great in your life, you don't know what tomorrow brings, right? See, Jesus knew what he was going to do. Jesus knew what his outcome was. He had already determined that at the foundations of the world, that he was going to die on a cross. But he still needed the Holy Spirit to help him through his earthly ministry. Every single day, we have an opportunity to say, "Lord, give me your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can be a witness for you, a good witness." We can be bad witnesses all by ourselves. We need to be good witnesses, loving witnesses, the love of Christ. What is it you need the Holy Spirit to do in your life? I want you to think about that for a minute. What do you need the Holy Spirit to do in your life? We did this a couple of weeks ago. I want to just take a few minutes for us to meditate on it. Think about it. If you got a notepad, write it down. But think about it. What is it you need the Holy Spirit to do for you maybe today, maybe this week, maybe this year? Think about that for a moment. Ask God to reveal something to you. What it is you need the Holy Spirit to do in your life. I'll just give you a minute or two to think about that. I hope you were able to write down a thing or two. Keep thinking about it. Let the Lord continue to speak to you throughout this message on what he might want to do to you. See, again, Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to accomplish his ministry. And if you want your life to make a difference, if you want to make an impact in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your homes, then you need the work of the Holy Spirit to be evident in your life, to see maybe what is it God wants to do in your life. And he's going to give you the Holy Spirit to accomplish that. And not only just what God wants to do, but maybe what it is that you want to do for the Lord. How it is you want to be used by God. And you're going to be more effective if you have the Holy Spirit. Some of the things I wrote down that I think maybe might help people think about, you know, do you want to be a better spouse? You want to be a better husband, a better wife? Holy Spirit. You want to train up your kids in the knowledge of God and in the ways of the Lord to choose right from wrong. We would all as parents love to teach our, or, you know, help our kids go through some of the experience, not go through some of the experiences that we've gone through. But if we can teach them that they can have the Holy Spirit, then God is with them. All of these types of things, to be a better employee, to be a different person, to be a nicer neighbor, to treat our enemies and love on them as Christ has called us to do. See, if you want to experience that, you need to have the Holy Spirit in your life. My wife and I were talking about this last night, about the importance of having the Holy Spirit and what that really means. And for my wife, she shared with me, she says she needs the Holy Spirit to help sometimes slow her down in her busy schedule. If many of you know my wife, she travels a lot, she has a lot that she does, and from time to time, the Holy Spirit tells her, I need you to spend some time with me. I need you to cancel a couple of appointments. You know how hard that is. You know, it's like you got things on your schedule, and the Holy Spirit tells, I want you to wake up this morning, and I want you to spend some time with me. And so there's this opportunity that my wife has given the Holy Spirit to say, interrupt my schedule. Intercede. My itinerary is your itinerary, Lord. And she just told me, she said, it happened the other day. She woke up and she had all these things that she needed to go, and she was getting ready to go to work, and God just said, I need you to spend some time with me. The thing I love about this, and the thing that we can identify with, is God knows what my wife's gonna get, what's gonna happen to my wife in the day. He knows what's gonna happen in your life for that day. And if God says, slow down for a minute, I need to talk to you, isn't it for a reason? That'd be like if your spouse was going, hey, could we sit down and talk for a minute? I wanna share something with you. It's like you're turning to your spouse, yeah, we'll talk later. No. We wanna communicate now. We gotta listen to God now. And as hard as it might have been for my wife to change her schedule, she did it and she was blessed by it. See, I'm kind of the opposite. I ask the Holy Spirit to help open up of opportunities, to guide me. So as the Holy Spirit is slowing her down, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to ramp me up. You know, give me some more opportunities to meet people. Makes it, what's the matter?
It's the perfect marriage.
Yeah, it works out well. But it's like, I want God to make divine connections in my life. You know, I'm not just looking to have coffee with people. I get tired of coffee, quite frankly. But I love talking with people, you know. Let's go get a smoothie sometime if you want to get a smoothie. But it's like, God, make these opportunities. Over the last several months, I've been meeting with different individuals in our church, different men, just to talk, just to catch up, just to encourage. And I've just been blessed by how God has used that in my life to connect with people and how it's enriched my life to know more specifically what's going on in your lives. And if you're sitting here and saying, he didn't have lunch with me, or yet, we're getting there, okay? I can't eat that much. Goodness gracious. But that's what I'm asking God to do. And God, little by little, he'll put it on someone's heart. Hey, Rob, I was just thinking about you, and I thought it'd be good if you met so-and-so. And make a connection. And just this week, I was able to make a connection with someone that used to actually go to our church many, many years ago. And it was just good to sit around and talk and hear what's going on in his life. So be sensitive is when I get to the point, is be sensitive to how the Holy Spirit's going to work in your life. Even give this Holy Spirit the authority to move you, to slow you down as my wife, or to speed you up as for me in my life. What it is specifically he wants to do in your life. It's important. It's important. The thing I also love is in verse 11, God puts his stamp of approval on what Jesus has done. Here Jesus comes 60 miles, travels to the Jordan to be baptized. Imagine a 60-mile walk to be baptized. That's pretty cool. He gets baptized, immediately gets anointed with the Holy Spirit, and then this voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Guys, not only does he love his Son, he's pleased in the obedience of his Son, fulfilling the purpose that he's come. It's the same thing for us. When we're obedient, God looks down and he goes, this is my child in whom I am well pleased. And if you want to please the Lord, walking in obedience is the only way. Walking in that obedience. You're going to make mistakes. He understands that. But he wants you to walk. So to see this and to see Jesus being approved by God is so important. In the midst of our lives, tragedy will come. We know that. Difficulties will always happen. There's a new song I've been listening to. It's been ministering to me. I'm one of those guys, I hear a song I like and I play it to death until I guess I hate it. I don't know. I don't want to get her name wrong. Ellie Holcomb, Find You Here, is a song I was listening to a Christian radio and it came on, and man, it really ministered to me. But I found out behind the scenes, the reason this song was written is because her father got diagnosed with cancer. And it was a devastating, obviously, it's devastating information to the family. She writes this song that says, Find You Here. It's based on Philippians 4:7, where it talks about, and the peace of God shall be with you beyond understanding. in obedience. Like she wrote the song to say, we found God in the midst of our tragedy. And I share this because, listen, obedience to the Lord doesn't mean everything is great. Obedience to the Lord is simply obedience to the Lord no matter what your circumstances are. And the song, they found them in the midst of their situation. They found God. God is in the midst. So if you're going through a difficult time right now, God is there in the midst of that. If you're having a wonderful life and everything's going well, God is in the midst of that. Find God where you are and let God use you. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. So the Spirit enables you. You need the Spirit because the Spirit enables you for whatever it is God wants to do in your life. And maybe he'll also enable you for what's coming up in your life that might be difficult. We don't know what this week's what's going to happen. It could be an excellent week. Everything could go wonderful. Or it could be the worst week we're going to have. The Holy Spirit knows that, and the Holy Spirit will equip you to get through that. That's the beauty of having a relationship with God. He doesn't just let us walk blind. He says, I have the Holy Spirit available to you, and I will enable you to get through. How many of us have gone through a trial or some kind of difficulty in our lives only to feel God's grace carry us through the entire thing? And yet we still worry, don't we? We still panic. Lord, don't you understand? He understands, and he's there. So he will enable you. It's our job to ask God to continually fill us. The second thing, and to me the more powerful thing, look at verse 12. Not only does Jesus get baptized, not only does he receive the Holy Spirit, here's the fun part. Verse 12, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Not only does the Holy Spirit enable you, the Holy Spirit guides you. The Holy Spirit guides you. Now, unfortunately, we don't like the way the Holy Spirit guided Jesus, do we? Immediately after he gets baptized by the power of the Holy Spirit, he goes into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, the temptations of Satan. It's interesting to me that Mark gives us two verses to describe the temptations of Christ. In fact, if you look at it, it's really only three words. And what does it say? Satan tempted Jesus. That's all. He doesn't give us any details. The important thing here, I think Mark is saying, it doesn't matter what the enemy throws at us. It doesn't matter the temptation is there. Our need is still the same. The Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit that will navigate and guide us through these difficult times. That's the beauty of it, as the Holy Spirit enables us. There we go. That makes sense. This word, it says that the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. That word is a word, it's forceful. He forced Jesus into the wilderness. He forced him into the wilderness. So sometimes the Holy Spirit has to push us, doesn't he? Sometimes we don't want to go willingly. And sometimes he has to force us. We need to be sensitive to how the Spirit's directing us in our lives and go. When God anoints us, when God enables us by the power of the Holy Spirit, that's the moment he wants us to go. Notice it says in verse 12, immediately the Spirit drove him. It was immediately after he was equipped. When God speaks to your heart something specific that he wants you to do, he doesn't do it 6 months in advance. All right? When he tells you he wants something to happen in your life, he wants you to do it at that moment. You don't have to worry about the timing. God takes care of the timing. And so if he's speaking something to you, that's when he wants you to do it. That's obedience. That's saying, okay, God, this is what you want. Even though I might be fearful, even though it might be unsure territory, I'm going to trust that your timing right now is when you want me to do it. Why would the Holy Spirit drive Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted? The only reason is to prove that Jesus would never sin. Jesus does not sin. He would never sin, right? And so it's a proof to us that Jesus would never be tempted by sin. And we're going to look at it more closely in Matthew's gospel in a moment. But here's the reality. Jesus set us an example of how we can deal with the temptations and the trials in our lives. And it's a beautiful picture. In fact, say goodbye to Mark and just flip over a few pages to the left. Matthew chapter 4. is where Matthew records the trials and temptations of Christ. Matthew chapter 4. Before we read it, though, I want us all to look at one other thing. The Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. There are going to be times in our lives when we need to look at our temptations and our trials head on. We need to attack them instead of just let them happen on their own. It's taking the offense rather than the defense. Don't we sometimes, when we're going through something, go, God, can't you just let this pass? Can't you just take this away? You've heard me say this before. Sometimes God allows these tests, these trials to happen in our lives to stretch our faith, to challenge our faith, to reveal your faith, and to really tell Satan, forget you, we're stronger than you. We're stronger than any temptation. So to really look at our temptations as an opportunity to flex our spiritual muscles and say, I'm stronger than what Satan can throw at me. Because we know what Satan's going to throw at us, don't we? We know our weaknesses. We know where we fall short. You know exactly what it is that causes you to want to doubt God or drift from God or be tempted to sin. You know what those are. And Satan knows them too. And guess what? Satan's going to knock on that door, and he's going to knock on it a lot. And if you're doing a good work, if you're being a strong Christian, if you're being faithful and you're, you know, sharing the love of Christ and you're one of those encouraging type Christians that people love to be around, you're the one that Satan's going to attack the most. Listen, Satan could care less about the carnal Christian that just believes, that doesn't read their Bible, that doesn't pray, that doesn't do anything. They're just sitting, I'm a believer, they're not doing anything. Satan doesn't have any time for that. He's going to attack the ones that really want to make a difference. So if you want your life to make a difference and you're asking for the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, guess what? You're a target for the enemy. And the temptations are going to come up. I can't tell you the number of guys I've talked to over the years that wanted to start a Bible study, but it seemed like every time they wanted to start it, something would get in the way. They'd either get sick or they'd get called out on a job. I mean, it's just amazing to me that the enemy attacks in that way. So I want to encourage you, face your temptations head on with the reality and the understanding, I have the ability to overcome these. I found this quote. I thought it was fascinating. It says this, wake up early and tackle the day before it tackles you. Be on offense, not defense. I love this. Wake up early and tackle the day before it tackles you. Wake up in the morning and say, God, how are we going to kick the enemy's butt today? That's the attitude. Instead of waking up going, man, I don't really want to get to this day. It's going to be so hard. Right? This is a different attitude. It's to wake up and say, here we go. Let's do this. I mean, for some of you, you checked out when it said wake up early. I get it. Especially the three of you out front. Hi there. But to have this mindset, to have this attitude, it's saying, I am prepared. God has filled me. I have the Holy Spirit. And do we believe the verse, greater is he that is in us than he's in the world? Do we believe that? Well, if we believe that, then we have the Holy Spirit, then we shouldn't have any problem with Satan and the enemy and the temptations that may come. It's a choice. This statement is a choice. Do you want to choose that? Your life will be a whole lot better if you start thinking this way. This week I was texting with a couple friends. We worked out together. And after the workout, one of the guys texted the three of us and said, thanks for making me get up early this morning. I feel so good. I'm going to have a great day. And so the next person, our other friend, texts and goes, well, let's hope that attitude lasts the whole day. And that attitude is, it could be a hard day and it may not last all day, right? And I text back and I said, let's choose to make sure that attitude lasts all day. And immediately, just that change in mindset, instead of letting the day dictate whether we have a good one or not, choose to have a good day. Choose to make a difference. The enemy loves lazy Christians. He loves lazy Christians. There's probably 10 of us that are sleeping right now. Lazy Christians. Not us. They're over there. They're in Texas. He just loves lazy Christians. It's like, oh, I've just had breakfast with a guy the other day. I said, are you in fellowship? What church are you going to? Well, we're not really going. I need to work better at that. I'm having a hard time. I said, man, you just got to make a choice. You just got to choose to do that. These are things we choose to do. And so to wake up early and to tackle the day before it tackles you is saying, I'm equipped, I am ready, and we're mindful of it. You got to understand those things. Make a determination. Make a choice. Don't let the day dictate your life. I saw this article on a very famous businessman. A friend sent it to me, and it says this businessman put up that 3x5 card. He says he put every single morning he wakes up, first thing he does is take out a 3x5 card. On the top, he says top five, and he writes down the top five things that he is going to accomplish that day. I just threw these up there just for illustration. Those things on his list are going to get absolutely done no matter what. He's committed that from the very beginning. It's a choice that he makes. He says if he gets a few more done, that's great. If he gets more than this list, wonderful. But these five are going to get done every single day. Can you imagine how much more control you'd have over your day if you started it out like this? I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. What are the top five things for you to start your day, to say every single day I'm going to do these five things? Maybe on your list it's prayer. Maybe it's send an encouraging email to a spouse or a friend. Maybe it's call a loved one I haven't talked to in a while, whatever it is, to just set in your mind, this is how we're going to do it, and we're going to start out this way. That's waking up early, and that's tackling the day before it tackles you. And I believe that's something that can help us. Because listen, reality is, if it's a good day, it's easy to tackle, isn't it? It's when the day's bad, that's hard to tackle. But if we are set and we determine beforehand, God help me get through this day, I'm telling you, he honors that. He blesses that. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Here's Matthew's dictation, and I want to point out one thing in this area. Many of us know this scripture, but verse 1 says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The reason I want to bring you this and to see these temptations is the things that Satan does to try to trip up Jesus. Number one, we see that Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He's hungry. The first temptation the enemy gives him, turn these stones into bread. Jesus doesn't succumb to that. The next one, up on the pinnacle of the temple, throw yourself off. Don't worry, the angels will catch you. That's what the Word of God says. Even Satan quotes Scripture. Jesus says, you don't tempt the Lord your God. The third thing, and Satan takes a look at all the world, everything in the world. I'll give it all to you if you bow down to me. What I think is ridiculous, because Jesus is going, I already own it, so it's no big deal. But again, Jesus says this very important three words. It is written. Notice he says that all three times. It is written. We can overcome the temptations of the enemy, number one, by the power of the Word of God. If you know the Word of God, you won't be tempted as easily. You'll still be tempted, but you won't be tempted as easy. And if you love the Word of God and you lean on the Word of God more than you do on the temptations, you will find yourself find victory. The other thing that I find interesting that Jesus does is he says this statement, it is written. He says it three times. I think it's important for us as believers to identify when we're the weakest, identify where the enemy is challenging us and tricking us up, and find ourselves some kind of phrase that will help us snap out of it. Whether it is written, or I believe in Jesus, or Jesus is my Savior, whatever, something that will set you off and say, nope, I'm not going to succumb to the wiles of the devil. I know what he's doing. I'm not going to do it. Get thee behind me, Satan. I love to use. I think it's great. It's the Word of God. But to know the Scriptures as well. And I would encourage you in this. If you had a chance earlier to write down anything that you want the Holy Spirit to do, that you need the Holy Spirit to do in your life, I would encourage you and challenge you to find Scripture that supports those things that you want to be done. Because the enemy's going to try and steal that. The enemy's going to try and rob that. And you can have Scripture to support the things that you believe God's going to do in your life, that you need the Holy Spirit to do in your life, to find that. When life gets tough, and it always does, find something that will help snap your attention onto God. One of my favorite scriptures is Hebrews 12:2. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and has been seated at the right hand of the throne of God. It's a reminder to me, I got to get my eyes on Christ. And when the enemy begins to attack, and he knows how I tick, I just go, I got to get my eyes on Christ. I got to get my eyes on Christ. And Lou shared with me last night for her. A friend challenged her to have a saying that when she sensed her busyness of life and her aggravation or her tension rising, she had a saying that says, you're out, you're out. Before she's going to respond, before she's going to react, she's going to say to herself, you're out, which means get out of the situation, take yourself out of the situation, protect yourself before you do something you don't want to do. And maybe that's ministering to someone today. Maybe you respond to things and you react to things and you let your emotions get to you, and maybe you need to just say, I'm out, I'm out. Or it is written, or get behind me, Satan. Something that will help you endure what Jesus endured, all three temptations, without a problem. And an interesting picture we have. In the Garden of Eden, the first Adam succumbed to the temptations of the devil. But the last Adam, Jesus Christ, all three of them, no problem. And what I loved that Jesus did at the end was, what does he say? I want to quote it right. Away with you, Satan. Isn't that a great thing? Away with you, Satan. Don't let Satan mess with you. Don't let him bother you. Speak to him in the authority that Christ has given to you. Just say, away with you, Satan. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir to the King. And I have the Holy Spirit in my life. And I'm stronger than you are. And that's where we've come to that place where we go, Lord, every single day we need you. Every single day we need your presence. Let the Holy Spirit enable you to do great things, enable you to get through your life. Let him guide you and direct you to where he wants you to go. Sometimes he'll direct you right into a temptation. But again, wake up every single day and tackle the day before it tackles you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths that we find here. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for setting the perfect example for us. Coming and being baptized and then being receiving and anointed by the Holy Spirit. A great reminder for all of us that when we get down, when we get discouraged, that the Holy Spirit is available to us to fill us afresh, to adjust and readjust our focus. And then Lord, also to guide us and direct us in our lives. We know that maybe even this afternoon, something might come against us. But we pray that by the power of your Spirit in us, that we will be able to endure, just like Jesus endured these three temptations. Help the Word of God fill our hearts, fill our minds, always ready to be able to share the Scriptures or use the Scriptures to help and strengthen us through our day. God, use us, we pray. Bless each and every person in this room. Bless their faithfulness to you. Help them be obedient to your word. We thank you that you are a good, good Father that loves us so very much. May we never forget that. May we never forget the things that you've given to us and equipped us to walk through this life with victory. May we each and every one of us live the abundant life that you've died for us to give to us. So have your way with us the rest of this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.